ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Okay, you've looked back on the year and you didn't quite get the promotion you wanted or the pay rise. We've searched the globe and we think we might have the secret sauce to up-level your work-life future state. Hello, I'm Lisa Leong with ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. There's a secret language to the world of work, uncovered by the hilarious workplace comedy duo known as Wankonomics. If you follow their advice, you'll get promoted faster than a cascade to key stakeholders of a deep dive. We're having a bit of fun this episode with workplace buzzwords. You may have seen or perhaps even read their book. It's called Wankonomics, A Deep Dive into Workplace Bullshittery, or you may have caught one of their live shows with me, and I'm going to use their LinkedIn titles here. We have James Schleffel, Chief Disruptor and Strategy Optimization Evangelist. Hello, James.
Hi, lovely to be here. Thanks for touching base.
Charles Firth is a Customer Engagement Jedi.
Am I? That's great. Well, lovely to circle back and touch base with you too. Yeah.
James, why are you picking on work?
I've always described Wankonomics as a bit of a therapy session, right, for anyone who has ever had a job. And the thing is, in this day and age, like, it doesn't matter what you do, you've probably come into contact with words like circle back and touching base and moving forward and hard stop and synergistic solutions, that type of thing. You've probably also sat in a pointless meeting. You've maybe sat in a work session where you've had to come up with meaningless values. You've probably used LinkedIn. And so we're all in this together, right? Like, we see you, we hear you. Let's just lean into this. Let's do a bit of a deep dive and, you know, maybe come up with some best practice solutions of how we can work through this together.
Charles, what are your qualifications?
Well, I went to a meeting once. It was back in, I think it was like 2016 or 2017. I was working at a commercial radio station and this guy, like a senior manager, came up from Melbourne, and he used to come up from Melbourne like once a month. And whenever he arrived, all work would stop on the entire floor, because it wasn't just the sort of radio announcers, it was also all the salespeople and everything. And he'd haul everyone into this sort of meeting room, and then he'd just say nothing for about an hour, but he'd just sort of talk really confidently, and all the other sort of announcers said, oh, don't bother going to that, it's just rubbish, right? And I went to one and it was like, this is comedy. This is like, I don't need to be doing comedy on radio, just write this down, write it into a book and then sell it to the world. So, yes.
All right, so I'm going to introduce here researcher Zach Brown. So in an earlier episode of This Working Life, I had a chat to Zach, and he studies status and why people use jargon at work. So this is something that he shared with us.
For most people, jargon is the optimal communication strategy. These terms, we don't even notice them. It's only when they're overdone or used by people that we find offensive because they're too junior or they're so similar to us that they're threatening. It's only in those situations where it's actually a negative thing. But otherwise, the benefits of it, on average, far outweigh the costs. And the benefits are increased fluency and this sort of socializing, bonding kind of thing.
Charles, what did you make of that?
Oh, I completely disagree. I think using and overusing those words completely marks you out as a wanker, you know, like, especially the higher status you go. Like the whole point is that these things are overused, and the idea that people wouldn't notice them, you know, if they're used properly, is just insanity. Like, everyone knows that these are terrible things, but our message is not that we should therefore jettison all those words. Our message is, no, you've got to get good at it. You've got to get as good as the senior manager who's, you know, touching base about your KPIs by COB.
James, I'm going to play you this one. I want you to respond to this researcher here.
There's an increased centralization of it because now everyone is on LinkedIn. If we look at an animal analogy, it's like we're all now, instead of having our own separate watering holes, all of the animals on the Serengeti are now heading to the same watering hole. And so you can see everyone else's displays and how everyone's jumping around and trying to present themselves to others. And so there's this cross-pollination with LinkedIn sites or other social media sites, but then also you have these consultancies that are working at all the same things as well.
James.
One of the fascinating things that we've discovered through this process, particularly because we've done a lot of live shows in the UK, and a lot of times we get asked, is there a difference in the buzzwords and the jargon between the UK and Australia? And the answer is zero. Like nothing. And it occurred to me the other day that that's quite fascinating, right? Because there are lots of differences between Australian English and British English, right, in terms of everyday language. But in terms of the jargon, we don't change a word. In our shows, the only words that we change are like local references, like, you know, Coles to Tesco's or Tipex from liquid paper, that kind of thing. But the buzzwords themselves are identical.
Really?
So I think we have stumbled on this global language.
It's not so much the lingua franca as the lingua wanker.
The lingua wanker, yeah. Yes.
Does this translate to the US?
We haven't gone to the US mainly because we're worried about our visa situation there, given our political satire backgrounds.
It comes from the US.
A lot of it comes from the US. Yes.
Isn't there some sort of institute? It's probably a sweatshop or something that McKinsey's runs.
Yes. Just pumping out words.
Yeah, just pumping out words and yeah. mixed metaphors.
Yes.
You know, on a daily basis.
Yeah. I think that guy there, listened to before, had a few of them.
He's Googling the Serengeti for the latest metaphor.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to our LinkedIn audience. So I did a post and I said, can you nominate the most annoying buzzword or jargon you hear in the office or read in an email? Let's go with this one. This one's from Joe.
Let's take this offline.
Okay. Yeah. Charles, classic.
Yeah. Yes. You have to take it. Actually, can we even take this explanation offline?
What's the definition of that?
Well, do you know what? Take it offline is basically, it's a way of saying, I don't know what I'm doing, right? Mm. Like it's I don't want to answer. And in meetings, I've seen this so often with people, they're astonishingly good, some people, at avoiding doing any work or taking responsibility for anything. And there's all sorts of phrases when you're asked a direct question about what you're working on, all sorts of phrases that will get you out of that. Like, you know, let's take this offline, or can we circle back on that later? Or that's more of a Terry Donaldson question, or maybe we should, you know, ladder that up to marketing, get their response in it. And so it's basically just a way of avoiding doing work or being responsible.
Yeah, because, and it's not just, I don't know, it's also, oh, I haven't done the work.
Yes.
It can also mean that. That's a sort of secondary meaning because, you know, if you say, oh, have you got that document that was due today, you just say, oh, let's take that offline.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now.
Yeah.
Gives the impression that you might have the numbers somewhere when in reality you haven't got them
and
at all.
And then the key is straight after the meeting you run away because otherwise, you know, having taken it offline, like taking it out of the meeting, you'll then be held accountable.
Well, I think usually what you do is you just head straight into another meeting.
And then
you would never actually get to the point where you have to do any work at all.
See, you're showing your experience.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All right, I've got one from Christine. Mm. She writes, let's unpack that for me. People use it even outside work now and it drives me batty.
Yeah, well, there's a group of words that people use to pretend that they're actually in a job that's exciting and interesting rather than doing something that is just, you know, mind-blowingly, you know, mind-numbing. And so let's unpack this. Maybe gives people the sense that they're on holidays, you know, that they're unpacking a suitcase. Mm. You know, things like, you know, a lot of playground expressions as well, like, you know, close of play is a term that's used a lot. You know, maybe gives the sense that you're back at kindergarten.
Jump on a call,
you know, gives a sense of, you know, maybe on a trampoline or something. All of these things that we do to try and take ourselves out of the reality of work.
I've got one for you, Charles. Rosie wrote, circle back. I know it's one of your favourites. I think you've already used it in, you know, the first moments where you were here. How often should we use this in a sentence, circle back?
Well, once per sentence would be our normal
recommendation.
Cadence. Although, you know, it's hard to circle back when you're moving forward, right? Mm. And we also recommend using the phrase moving forward at the end of every sentence.
Mm.
So,
can you give me an example of how I might do this this afternoon?
Well, actually, I could, but could we just circle back to that later?
Moving forward.
Okay, Sally writes, touch base is basically normal vernacular at this point, but it still makes me grimace.
Mm. Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realise that touch base is actually a baseball analogy, which is weird. And there are a lot of baseball analogies that that people in Australia and the UK use, even though they have never, ever watched a game of baseball. Touch base, hit it out of the park. I mean, that's a baseball analogy. I mean, you could argue that it's cricket, but I'm pretty sure it's come from America. What else? There's other baseball.
Home run.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bit left field. I'm pretty sure that's a baseball analogy. Isn't that weird that we use all these phrases that have no actual cultural meaning. And one of my favourites, actually, just to go on a bit of a tangent, is the idea of a North Star, you know, setting the North Star.
Mm, yep.
Absolutely bonkers that we use that term in Australia or New Zealand, given you can't actually see the North Star in the Southern Hemisphere.
We don't have a North Star.
That explains a lot about where we're going in organisations.
Yes, and yet organisations will confidently get up and say, we need to work towards our North Star. And it's like, you can't actually see the bloody thing. That's a terrible metaphor. Mm. Let's stop using that immediately.
My favourite use of the North Star was we met somebody in London whose job was to be in charge of two North Star projects for his organisation, right? And you're going, but the whole point about a North Star is there's one. Right. And we said, so, but hang on, like, how do you direct yourselves towards two North Stars? You need a compass or something? And he said, oh, no, there's somebody else employed who's the head of compassing.
Working on a compass project.
Compass project, yeah, for the North Star.
Is this for real?
Yes.
Because you work at the ABC, have you heard North Star used as a verb yet?
To North Star this?
I have good knowledge that there is an employee at your organisation who is currently working on a project to try and get the word North Star used as a verb within the organisation, within the ABC. And he came to the ABC a few years ago and he went, this is all rubbish, but I can just get this to be used as a verb, as soon as I hear that, I'll quit and my job here is done.
Do you want me to just use it on my
I think you should. And then he can
program.
Be free of here.
Is he at retirement age? Do you think I should release him? Because he spent his whole lifetime.
Yeah, I think 5 years at the ABC would make you of retirement age.
This is what is getting Catherine's goat. She says, circularise.
Oh.
How do we use this? What's happening there, James?
Circularise. Oh, wow. I haven't actually heard that one, don't think.
But that fits into the category of if you've ever got a noun, just turn it into a verb.
Right. But then back into a noun.
Yeah, so circularising would be the way to do that.
Well, you got a circle, which is a noun, and then circularise, which is a verb, and then circularising, or circularisation, I think.
Circularisation would be the then circularising.
Circularisationing,
yeah.
This one's from producer Michelle as well. She says, the piece. Why does everyone talk about a communication piece, an HR piece?
So this is one of my favourites. Love a piece, you know, like let's maybe Janet can speak to the finance piece. What does that mean? It's just one of these beautiful words that it doesn't have any meaning in and of itself, but you can add it to your sentence. And what it does is it allows you to extend your sentence, which is very, very important if you're at work and you don't know what you're doing. You know, let's drill down on the mechanics piece moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I've taken up, you know, a few seconds saying that. I sound a bit more intelligent than maybe I am. Quite impressive.
And I think also it gives it a sort of its own, like it's its own thing then. It's not just an email. It's an email piece.
Yeah. The email piece.
Yeah.
Let's circle back on the email piece.
Like it sounds more important.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I deserve a pay rise.
Yeah.
This is an embarrassing reveal and it's in your book. Mm. It's cadence. Love using it like, that's our cadence, or should we discuss the cadence for next year?
Yeah.
Is what I just say naturally.
It sounds very sophisticated, doesn't it? Mm. Even though it doesn't really
I'm
mean anything.
I'm pretty sure Mozart had a cadence.
Yes, it's definitely a musical term.
So define it for us, for people who are listening going, gosh, Lisa sounds like she should be in upper management.
Cadence is a musical term, isn't it? That means the distance between two notes or something, isn't it?
How often you do something.
And why might I be using this in a meeting? What am I meaning?
It sounds more impressive than saying this is how often I do something.
Yeah. this is my operational work cadence right now. Yeah. Just sounds lovely. I love that.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong, and my guests are James Schleffel and Charles Firth from Wankonomics. We're talking about the language we use at work, amongst other things. One of the other places we have to go to for some buzzwords to help us next year and for a bit of positioning is LinkedIn. So I know that you wrote a LinkedIn profile for Aristotle. How is Aristotle described on LinkedIn?
So we didn't write it.
Primary research.
Primary research, yeah. That is Aristotle's LinkedIn post. So, I mean, it's right, because the thing about Aristotle was that he was a polymath, right? Like, he genuinely...
Well, he was an influencer.
He was an influencer. He invented maths.
Yeah.
he invented logic.
Yeah.
So am I thinking a lot of slashes?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he's
a lot of slashes.
And he invented science.
Yeah.
So, but he says that on his LinkedIn, thought disruptor, knowledge architect, inventor of science.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect sort of strap line.
Yeah.
If you've done all that.
Yeah. Very, very influential in his space.
Yeah, outcomes-focused ethical strategist and influencer with 10-plus years experience. As the inventor of logic, I have a proven track record of proving things. That's quite funny.
So let's just break it down then. What are we trying to do in LinkedIn?
Well, this is interesting. We've done a lot of research on this. We've actually looked at about 800,000 different LinkedIn posts. And really, when you translate them, they're all saying exactly the same thing, which is thrilled to announce that I'm better than you. Like, that's
yes.
That's what every LinkedIn post actually translates to.
In fact, I'm really humble about that.
Humbled to announce that I'm better than you. That's possibly even better.
That's better. Can we have that?
So can you help me with mine then? Because my very first job, I worked at a bottle shop, so I was a liquor assistant at Woolies.
You wouldn't put it like that on LinkedIn.
How would I rephrase that?
Well, I'd say like distribution and logistics, maybe start there. Managing a portfolio of liquid assets,
absolutely.
I think is important.
Yeah.
You know,
for a diverse range of clients.
Yeah, creating impact in an ever-changing world. You know, I think that's the kind of level you need to be at on LinkedIn.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got a sign for you. We found this stuck to our microwave here in our workplace.
Mm.
So how about one of you reads it out and then we'll reflect on what's happening in this.
Okay. Well, so they've started off strong. Please and thank you is the
highlighted.
Please and thank you. Mm. Cover, in bold, cover your food with a paper towel, lid or plate. This microwave is regularly left with food splattered,
bold,
all over the inside of it. Yum, .. not! !
So there's a passive aggressiveness to this, which kind of underpins most of the stuff that we're talking about.
And fierce anger. Mm. I mean, this is one of the most angry documents I've ever read. This is terrifying.
Yes. I think you could, like, someone should release a book just full of, like, notes. Kitchen notes. It'd be a great read. They are amazing.
As a leader or wannabe leader, are we the person who are writing these passive-aggressive notes, or are we the person who's responding to them, or do you think we should send out a group email about the state of the microwave?
Well, be careful before you send out a group email, because it may never ever end, because there is a certain process that happens when you send out an email to everyone with a message like this about the kitchen, which is you have the reply all loop. You're familiar with the reply all loop. It's when someone sends out an email to everyone, then other people reply to that. And then if you're in an organization with, say, 10,000 people, that's a lot of emails. Then you get people replying going, can you please take me off this reply all loop? And then you get another group of people going, how ironic is it? Ha, ha, ha. How ironic is it that the people are replying all to say, take me off this reply all email? I think there's been an email going around in one workplace since about 1994. 1997, was it? Yeah. About missing forks in the sink. Just never ends.
Yeah. They actually use it to, the Large Hadron Collider is actually powered by that email.
Yeah, just the late energy.
We have a segment called Try This, where we ask our experts to come up with something this working lifers can try to help make their work lives better. James, it's an office Christmas party.
Mm.
There's going to be small talk.
Ugh.
What can we try?
I think that we should try doing office small talk, but only using buzzwords. So maybe ask your colleague what they're up to for Christmas, but do it in a way as if you're talking in a meeting. So
That's terrific. That's violence, James. That's horrible.
This is a good way for people to practice.
Okay. So can you give us some starters just in case I'm stumbling a little bit?
Okay. Well, lovely to meet you. just thought I'd touch base and inquire about your festive activities moving forward in the end of year Christmas space.
Your roadmap for the new year.
Please revert back with your answer by the end of this sentence.
All right, go, Charles. What's your tip for us? What should we be practicing?
I was going to suggest group activity that we could all get on board with and come up with a buzzword that we want to spread virally. Because the way buzzwords actually spread is that nobody will be using them at all, you know, at the beginning of the day.
Mm.
And then somebody will slip, say, secret sauce into a meeting, you know, Monday morning or something like that. And then everyone starts saying secret sauce. By the end of the week, everyone in the organisation is using secret sauce.
When only 5 days earlier, no one had ever even heard of the term secret sauce.
It's like a virus, right? Yeah. Like, that's how buzzwords spread. So I was thinking, why don't we just come up with a single word and we try and, this Christmas, get it spread across Australia, all the workplaces.
Until it comes back to us.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Let's do it. What is our word?
Or should it be secret sauce? That could be our secret sauce.
Secret sauce?
Or should it be? I mean, the other one
is something new and ridiculous.
Can we North Star it? Can we actually
get North Star as a verb?
North Star as a verb.
Let's get North Star trending as a verb. Okay.
I mean, it's hard.
It's hard.
But are you gonna North Star this Christmas?
Doesn't quite work.
No.
But
I think that's the challenge.
Isn't it?
I mean.
Not easy. No one said it's easy.
Did Farlap say, "I'm going to win this race"?
No, it's a horse you couldn't talk, please.
But no.
We're going to go North Star. So to be how are you going to North Star 2026?
Yes. I like that.
How are you going to North Star 2026?
Yeah.
Yes, and people, and if you say it with a straight face, people will believe that it's a thing and they won't question
what you're talking like an actually, idiot. I've literally got a garden party this afternoon.
Okay. Well, let's find out what people are North Starring in 2026.
Yeah. Well, so the other part that I do find a little bit irritating is when you go to these Christmas parties, I mean, basically it's small talk.
Mm.
I mean, it's so sort of banal, isn't it?
Mm.
So, you know, have you had a good year?
Mm.
You know, how's your year gone? Mm. And you've got to summarise your whole year. I mean, are you truthful? Like, do I go back and go, well, actually, January was pretty good. Started
That's a good
off well.
Way. No, that is a very good strategy. If you want to shut down a conversation and get people to move on, just start in January.
Yeah, 1st of January.
I could bring my diary with me and actually just flick through.
Yeah, thanks for that question.
I was in back-to-back meetings all day.
Thank you so much, Charles.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Thank you, James.
Thanks for having us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm humbled that you're here with
Thrilled.
Us.
Thrilled.
James Schleffel and Charles Firth from Wankonomics. Head to their website for info about their upcoming tour dates and we'll put a link in our show notes. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our podcast and share it with a colleague or a friend. You can do that on the ABC Listen app or anywhere you listen to podcasts. We've curated some of our best stories of the year for you to enjoy over the summer, and we'll be back with fresh stories in our new time slot of 5 a.m. Mondays from the 19th of January. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, work it, baby.
been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.